1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A strong tornado damaged hundreds of structures in Omaha, Nebraska yesterday afternoon. KOLN-TV reporter John Grinvalds describes the destruction.
There's debris all around. There are cars that were picked up and thrown over here, scattered pieces of metal all twisted around. There's a lot of first responders who came out here, departments all around the area.
Twisters also hit Oklahoma and Texas. Injuries were reported, but no deaths thus far. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are roiling college campuses across the country. It all started at Columbia University in New York City, where the protests are still ongoing. CBS's Michael George was there.
Columbia is working to regain control by keeping outsiders out. Security is now checking IDs to make sure only students and staff can get in.
It was a different scene at Ohio State overnight. At least three people, including a graduate student, were arrested after setting up an encampment near the Student Union Center. Video posted on social media Thursday showed officers tearing down tents at Emory University in Georgia.
The testimony of former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker dominated the first week of former President Donald Trump's hush money trial. Correspondent Willie James Inman has the summary.
During testimony for the prosecution this week, Pecker described how he helped conceal potentially damaging stories about Trump during the 2016 election. The defense argued that the practice known as catch and kill was not unusual, and that there were similar alleged arrangements with other celebrities, including Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tiger Woods, and Mark Wahlberg. But when he was asked by prosecutors whether there was a difference with Trump, "Did you suppress stories to help a presidential candidate?" "Yes," Pecker said.
The Biden administration has again delayed a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes. It says immense feedback is the reason why.
Health organizations favor the ban, but the ACLU warns it would, quote, disproportionately impact people of color and prioritize criminalization over health. Lisa LaCasse, president of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, sees it this way.
We think the data should be the most important thing, and the voice that's really being listened to right now is the tobacco industry.
Menthol cigarettes are heavily marketed to black communities and are appealing to teenagers. It's not known how long a final decision will take. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The United Auto Workers reached a deal with Daimler Truck in North Carolina, averting a strike. More than 7,000 employees will get 25% raises. The previous contract expired yesterday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board taking your phone calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommers, we are here high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. And cloudy, overcast, but we have reached the end of the work week.
We sure have. And this weekend, I'm going to be going back to Manitowoc, visit my family. Last weekend was my mom's birthday, but my niece, Gracie, was sick, so I didn't go home.
Really?
So I'm going to go back and visit this weekend instead.
Oh, very good. That's fantastic. I really try hard not to do this very often, which is cancel plans. Because quite frankly, I don't have that many plans usually. my social calendar is usually fairly blank. But I was going to have dinner tonight with our friend CP, who is the co-executive producer of this program, and our former classmate, Jeff Daniels. Three of us had not gotten together in forever, and so we thought, well, it all worked out. But then late plans this morning, The youngest godson, Jason, the one who works for Department of Defense out there in beautiful Bremerton, Washington, right next to Seattle, he is in town. He is in town. He and his cousins were going on a big river kayaking or whatever, canoe trip this weekend. But because of the impending severe weather and rain, basically the entire weekend, that was scrubbed. And so I have been invited to dinner tonight with my favorite youngest godson and his parents. So I will be going down to beautiful Monroe with the blessing of CP and Jeff. Said, yeah, that's fine. No worries. So my plans change.
He lives in Washington. Because, you don't get to see him too often either.
Well, and he just got assigned a big assignment. He's going to Guam, of all places, to work for Department of Defense. So, you know, might not see him for a while.
Right.
So nice dinner with Jason and Kurt and Florcy and... going down to Monroe in beautiful Greene County tonight. Great county, Greene County. It truly is green, especially this time of year. Speaking of green, got the old Green Bay Packer polo shirt on today. We didn't really talk about it. It was a busy day yesterday, busy news day, so we didn't get to it. But the Green Bay Packers participated, of course, in the NFL draft. And according to the Green Bay Press Gazette headline, Packer fans weren't thinking what GM Brian Gutekunst was thinking for the first draft pick. Going to take a look at that here in just a minute. Also coming up in hour two, we will have Mr. Zomer's board game of the week, and also our friend Peter Rapine stops by, the managing editor of EBOM's World, with Week in Review. Now, we always love this because these are not made up. This isn't satire. It's not a group of comedy writers. These are people scouring the news wires and internet to find actual stories of actual wacky, weird, or stupid people.
Oh, yeah. We usually get an email with a preview of some of the headlines that he might cover. And yes. Last night, I read that email and those headlines to my roommates. And at the end of them, they were like, wait a minute. Those are real? I was like, yeah, I told you. These are real things that happen. This isn't The Onion. And they're like, right. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's as Carson used to say, wild and wacky stuff.
Indeed.
So there you go. Also, we're going to try to get to tonight or this afternoon, I should say, made up words that Gen Z may be using. And this is fantastic. This comes off the old Instagram, as they say. And this is fantastic. A teacher who is doing work around different classrooms, and he makes up words. He goes, well, yeah, the kids at the other school are saying this. And they're like, really? We want to be cool. And he gets kids to start using these made-up words. It's fantastic. We're going to take a look at that. Also, daily showers or baths, yay or nay? Interesting topic. The focus this hour is going to be on living in a political swing state. Are you in favor of it or against it? In other words, are you happy that Wisconsin is one of five states that will most likely will decide the 2024 presidential election, and thus we get visits from all these candidates? Joe Biden was just in town here this week. We get Trump coming in next week. We get all this attention and we're being listened to, but we also have all the ads, both pro and negative ads. So how do you feel about living in a swing state? We're going to take a look at that this hour as well. And of course, your phone calls throughout the afternoon as well. So big show today on a Friday, TGIF, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But here's where I want to start. President Joe Biden finally getting some credit, finally getting his dues. And again, we don't hear a lot about the positive news about Joe Biden because all the mainstream media air and focus is on a courtroom outside of New York City on the other guy. But here now, the North America's Building Trades Union, NABTU, North America's Building Trades Union, has endorsed Joe Biden's reelection. It's no wonder, considering the 51,000 infrastructure projects funded to date under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. And there's the American Rescue Plan, which protected workers' pensions. And oh, let's not forget about the Chips and Science Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. Sean McGarvey, president of the Building Trades Union, says these Biden-era policies, quote, have brought life-changing, opportunity-creating, generational change focused on the working men and women of this great country who have for far too long been clamoring for a leader to finally keep their word, unquote. It's worth noting that, as McGarvey observed, Donald Trump has promised to protect pensions and to pass infrastructure laws that would help employment in the building trades, but actually did neither. Let me say it again. Trump made promises about protecting pensions, about passing infrastructure laws, but did neither. As McGarvey stated, quote, Donald Trump is incapable of running anything, let alone the most powerful country in the history of the world, unquote. By the way, there are 3 million members of the Building Trades Union. 250,000 of them live in 3 of the battleground states. Who are they? Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Think that might make a difference in this election? 250,000 of the 3 million members of the Building Trades Union live in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and right here in Wisconsin. They have endorsed Joe Biden. Why? As their president, Sean McGarvey, said, because he actually accomplished something. Right? Funny how that works. People can talk a good game, can stand up in front of a camera, get a lot of attention. But what is it that you do when you have the power? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Joe Biden on Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan funding didn't go to the White House press briefing room and call Mike Johnson names. He didn't try to intimidate him, at least publicly. Just was quiet. And behind the scenes, he was working, as he has his entire career in Congress and as vice president, to actually get things done. And as I said, credit Mike Johnson, the Republican, as well. I might disagree with him vehemently on other things, but I give him credit where credit is due on this, especially the Ukraine funding. Working with Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic leader in the House, and Joe Biden, of course, the Democratic president, who, by the way, is acting as a president for all, not just Democrats. So the people that actually follow this stuff, who understand what it means to be a leader, are taking note. And although all the headlines, or the majority thereof, will be on what kind of words are being thrown around in court in New York this week, what sort of ridiculous things Trump is saying after he gets out of court, the news organizations are parked on the street outside the courtroom, bringing you any little titillating thing they can to gin things up, to get you to click, to watch, to listen. While all that's going on, Joe Biden is just getting stuff done. You see out there the bridge collapse, by the way, in Baltimore? Guess what? The lanes are already open to shipping. Biden and Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg and all the great folks on the ground in Baltimore. The bridge, parts of the bridge are still in the water. Lots to clean up, a long way to go. But the important thing is they got the waterway open so all those folks that work in the shipyards and the ports in Baltimore can go back to work, can collect a paycheck. Not making a lot of headlines, that is, by the way. Most of the cameras have left Baltimore because the sexy part, the destruction, is over. Cleanup is never really sexy politically or from a media standpoint. But once again, Joe Biden is just getting stuff done. And that's what this election is going to come down to a large degree. Are you happy And can you vote for and be excited about someone who gets things done, who accomplishes things? Or are we going to harp on other stuff and be drawn away by the distractions, the gaslighting, the smoke and mirrors, the apprentice television atmosphere? I'll take Joe Biden every time. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What are your thoughts on Joe Biden just getting stuff done? Also, what are your thoughts on living in a political swing state? That is next. As this article points out, this election probably comes down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin again, maybe Arizona, maybe Nevada, maybe Georgia. But most people on both sides of the aisle agree, as goes Wisconsin, will go the rest of the nation. As goes Wisconsin, great name for a show, by the way. Still a great podcast on your socials. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and
welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along here on a Friday, TGIF. Mr. Zomer is on the board on this Friday, April 26, 2024, 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Nice song there, Mrs. Zomer. Any reason in particular?
I just was thinking about trees today, you know?
Well, you know, it happens to be Arbor Day. And by the way, a couple of cleanup notes here. I had a lot on the plate. I was negligent. Our old friend William Walter is now the executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution, and they are having a press conference today to talk about kind of the focus of, I believe, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and some issues they have there. So they're holding a press conference today. We will bring you news as it happens. But if you're in the Madison area, I believe it's just getting underway now-ish. So stop up to the Wisconsin State Capitol, Our Wisconsin Revolution, and William Walter. We haven't talked to William in a while. We need to have him back.
We haven't.
We need to have him back on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
So we will do that in due time. But appreciate them letting us know about that press conference and going on up at the State Capitol this afternoon. But as we said, another thing I was negligent at the top of the show here, talking about today being Arbor Day. And I believe our old friend Tom, still down in Florida, has some thoughts on that. Now, Tom, normally we like to ask you the weather in Florida during the winter season, but we're kind of equaling out. It's a little overcast here in Wisconsin, but you know we're around 60 degrees today. What is the weather like down in the Sunshine State?
86 and humid.
86 and humid reminds
gross.
Me.
Gross.
It's a little warm. And now, is it getting too warm for you, Tom? Or are you ready to come back to Wisconsin? Are you enjoying it?
I am getting out of here within the week.
within the week.
Up to Sauk County.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll enjoy you coming back to Wisconsin, but always enjoy you calling in. You have some thoughts on this Arbor Day.
Yeah, happy Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day.
You know, since you were talking about it with folks on Earth Day, you know, what can we do? And one good answer is to plant a tree, but oaks stand alone as giants among trees because they support far more life forms and interactions than any other type of tree in North America.
Really?
They attract over 400 types of butterflies and other insects that feed on their foliage. And the reason is they've evolved for millions of years. These insects have the ability to digest this one plant, just like the kind of blue butterfly digests only one kind of plant, and other insects only can feed on, you know, like monarchs only feed on milkweed. So anyway, they are much better than maples, for example, in that respect. Those most other trees only attract 5 to 20 types of insects, but oaks can 400, so they're much better. And those insects, the reason why they're important is that they are what attract songbirds and other life forms.
Interesting.
So I want to give a tip. Yeah, if any of your listeners are going to go this weekend to a nursery and buy an oak tree, get a small one. You're better off getting small ones because their roots have not been disturbed as badly and as often as a big tree. They cost a lot less, too. Mm-hmm. So within about 3 years, they're going to catch up to those bigger trees. So you're better off planting two or three of the small ones and then, selecting the best one after the first 2-3 years.
All right. So plant a small oak tree on this Arbor Day or Arbor Day weekend. Do your part to help the ecosystem, all the critters that live around there as well. And you have some, you know, eventually you'll have some nice shade as well.
Yeah. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Absolutely.
And so let me leave you with one Greek proverb. A society grows great when old people plant trees in whose shade they shall never sit.
I like that.
Happy Arbor Day.
I like that. Happy Arbor Day, Tom. Thanks for calling in from Florida. We'll welcome you back to Wisconsin. Thanks for dropping some knowledge on us. Thank you so much. Have a great day. There you go. See, this is the kind of stuff from our listeners that you never know what we're going to get. And I think that's so true is that, you know, especially the oak tree, right? You plant it now. If you're an older person, you're never going to be able to sit in the shade, but you're going to help the next generation. And Tia Nelson started our week off. Of course, the daughter of former governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who founded Earth Day, and made that point. You know, it's about helping the next generation. It's not always being, hey, what is this going to do for me in my time on this planet? What is it going to do for future generations?
And that's something that we need to really care about, honestly.
No, I totally agree. So thank you, TJ, Tom. Thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate that. And dropping some knowledge on us. What's your favorite tree, Mrs. Albers, if you were going to pick a favorite tree?
Well, it might have to be oak now.
As Barbara Walters once said to Katharine Hepburn, if you were a tree, what kind of a tree would you be?
And you know, I don't know. I can tell you some I wouldn't be. I would not be dogwood. Because of the allergy potential.
Yes. By the way, Katharine Hepburn said an oak, that she would be an oak tree because of the strength and how tall it is and all that.
She picked correctly, I guess.
I'm partial to a good sugar maple because I like the colors.
Yeah,
and also a red maple.
Red maple is very good. Also, could go for some good, a swamp ash tree.
Nice.
Because the wood for guitars from swamp ash is amazing. Like just the different grain you get and the swirls and the contours and everything. And then you just finish it with an oil finish instead of painting it. And then you can see all that. And it looks beautiful.
that I admire woodworkers. My great grandfather was a great woodworker, and I never really picked that up. And I'm absolutely envious and in awe and deep respect for any person who can work with wood and bring all those details out. In northern Wisconsin, we still have a lot, but I feel like in southern Wisconsin, a good birch, because I love the white birch, and then I like the yellow leaves in the fall, and I don't know, just something about a good white birch tree that I enjoy as well.
On this topic, Jeff Perry just commented in on Facebook, alerting us that there is, you know, the Peanuts, you know, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
It's Arbor Day. Charlie Brown is an existing special in that series.
I forgot about
that. From 1976. One of the lesser known.
Yes, one of the lesser known Peanuts comic strip movies. It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't think I have either. Luke Mather is just walking through right now, as a matter of fact, with pizza in hand. None for you or I, but he just walked by in the background with pizza in his hand.
Good for him.
Absolutely good for him. He well deserved. We're going to come back and ask you. We have some people on the text line, Jim from Appleton. We're going to read that. We come back and take your phone calls and text. The question is this on this Friday. What are your feelings on living in a political swing state where we are a purple state? Our two U.S. senators, Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat, Ron Johnson, a Republican, both elected by us, or at least, I voted for Tammy Baldwin, at least half of it. What do you think about living in a swing state? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Your phone calls after this. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Tornadoes hit Oklahoma, Texas, and Nebraska. The threat of severe weather continues through the weekend. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
This enhanced risk is going to continue for northern portions of Texas into Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri, and then start spreading on up towards Iowa and Wisconsin as we go through the day on Saturday.
Jewish students at New York's Columbia University say 10 days of pro-Palestinian demonstrations are taking a toll. Josh Falk describes what it's been like.
It's horrible. It's people are afraid to go to class, afraid to just walk outside, show that they're Jewish, and they have there's horrible things being chanted at them, and it looks really difficult.
Prosecutors in the Trump hush money trial wrapped up a week of testimony. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
They laid the foundation that they had all of these interactions, that Trump really knew about everything that was going on.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The Bucks lose in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks able to send the game into OT thanks to Chris Middleton, but Milwaukee losing game 3 in Indy. 121-118. The Pacers lead the series 2-1. Doc Rivers.
This game came down to 50-50, and they just did a better job of, you know, our guys were fighting, couldn't get to loose balls. You know, when you shoot better than the other team, but they take, 17 more shots than you, you're not going to win that game.
Baseball, the Brewers with a win. They went into extra innings. 7-6 over the Yankees. Milwaukee's Joey Ortiz with a home run and 4 RBI, driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 11th. NFL. The Packers have drafted 5 players, 2 on offense, 3 on defense, with 8 picks left to go.
We were able to kind of stay with the best player available. There were some guys we had rated, you know, equally, and then Need maybe played a little bit of part in that as well. But we never had to dip down around or anything like that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, breezy with a high of 72. Scattered showers and storms tonight with lows in the mid-40s. 56 and rain for your Sunday. For Sunday night, showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, a low of 47. Showers likely Monday, 64.
Currently, 53 degrees.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. More Trump trials in Manhattan. We'll find out who's on the prosecution's witness list. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is the incomparable University of Wisconsin Marching Band with a little Swing Town. How about that?
Swing Town, originally by the Steve Miller Band, in this case being conducted by Steve Miller.
How about that? Mr. Zomers found a cut of UW Marching Band performing Swing Town, being conducted in this case by the composer Steve Miller. Very nicely done. Nicely done, Mr. Zomer. Is that from their spring band concert, one of them, you think?
Or a halftime show? No, it looks like it's from a halftime show, right. And it is from 2017.
Very good. Nicely done. I cannot get enough of the University of Wisconsin Marching Band there. One of the great songs, Swing Town, that they perform. The reason we're playing a little Swing Town is, how do you feel about being a swinger? Politically speaking, of course. We don't want to be too personal, you understand. Wisconsin's a swing state. And what do we mean by that politically? It means that we as a state, even though there might be people that always vote Democratic or always vote Republican, or heck, maybe always vote Green Party, I don't know. But despite the way that we might vote individually, as a state, the results show that we are a swing state. We're a purple state, as they say. You don't have to look any further than the last election for governor and U.S. Senate, which was held at the same time. Incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers, Republican Tim Michaels, could not have two more politically different people. And on the U.S. Senate side, Republican Ron Johnson running for re-election against Lieutenant Governor Democrat Mandela Barnes. Politically speaking, very different people. And yet when voters of Wisconsin went to the polls, they reelected Governor Tony Evers and rejected Tim Michaels, and they reelected Ron Johnson and rejected Mandela Barnes. Now, there's a lot of nuances to those two campaigns, right? Don't necessarily want to dive into each one and get down to the nitty-gritty, but the point is that Wisconsin voters chose a Republican statewide and a Democrat statewide in the same election. And by the same token, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has gotten reelected twice, quite handily. And now she's facing this goofball OC, Eric Covey. Which he just continues to hurt himself every day, by the way. You look at that, the legislature is slightly different, in my opinion, because of the gerrymanders of the past. Hopefully, with new maps now in place, we're going to have more competition in the state legislature. We have a legislature that's mostly Democratic, or part of it mostly Republican, and the governor's office and most of the statewide offices are Democratic. You look at the presidential election. Trump has won here. Biden has won here. Obama's won here. George W. Bush has won here. It goes back and forth. It goes back and forth. So we're a swing state. And because we're a swing state, and we read at the top of the show, this endorsement of the North America Builder Trade Unions, endorsing President Biden. They have 3 million members in the building trades union. A quarter million of them live in the three battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. A lot of political experts, including our own colleague here, Trygve Olson of the Lincoln Project, who has run presidential campaigns, feel that the entire 2024 election may come down to who wins Wisconsin. And you say, how can a little state like that make such a big difference? Because, rightly or wrongly, we don't choose a president based on popular vote. It's based on the Electoral College. And so Wisconsin, with our 11 electoral votes, that's how close it is in the Electoral College. Remember, I mean, I was watching TV when I had my coffee shop in 2016. Wisconsin was so close, it was called late, and it was Wisconsin that put Trump over the edge to defeat Hillary Clinton in 2016. By the same token, Wisconsin helped Joe Biden get across the finish line and become president in 2020. So a lot of people believe this is going to come down to Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, these same political experts believe that it may be as close as between 10 and 20,000 votes. So of all the votes cast in Wisconsin, it may come down to a margin between 10 and 20,000 votes. And of course, there's a lot of assumptions here. It's assuming that Dane County continues to go overwhelmingly 70% plus Democratic. Milwaukee continues to go 70% plus Democratic. The WOW counties like Waukesha County continue to go pretty red. And so this is going to be won or lost, this state politically on the presidential level. If you kind of go from the Wisconsin Dells, Southwest Wisconsin area, up towards La Crosse, and then over to Eau Claire, and then Wausau, and then Green Bay. So basically along the lines of I-90-94 from Madison up to La Crosse, and then Highway 29 across the state. A combination of rural voters and folks in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, Green Bay, part of the Fox Valley. It doesn't mean that other places don't matter. It's just saying if you look at the numbers and if numbers hold, then that means that those are the folks within Wisconsin, what I just talked about, who will decide the election. Because that's where the swingiest parts of the state are, where I'm from, in Southwest Wisconsin. Those people in the rural areas, as well as places like La Crosse, the city of La Crosse tends to be Democratic, but some of the suburbs tend to swing. The city of Eau Claire tends to be Democratic, but some of the suburbs swing. Wausau can vary. Now, Republicans normally do pretty well in Marathon County, but it depends on the margin of the win. Trump may win Marathon County, but by how much? Brown County, Green Bay area, becomes more purple. Goes both ways politically. That means that we get an inordinate amount of attention compared to other places. Joe Biden isn't going to go campaign most likely in Montana, because Montana is going to go red. Right? Donald Trump isn't going to do a lot of campaigning in California, because California goes blue. So that means that the visits, we've seen Biden in here last week. We saw Trump coming to, we're going to see Trump next week again. We've seen Kamala Harris here. We've seen their surrogates. We get a lot of visits. We also get a lot of television ads and radio ads. And of course, they're not all happy news, right? So how do you feel about living in a swing state? How do you feel about all this attention? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also, text us on the Civic Media app. Let's go to Jim from Appleton, texting in on the app, WGBW, on the Talk of Green Bay. Great station, great town. Jim from Appleton, listening on Green Bay Station, says, I love living in a swing state. It isn't always the best thing for my blood pressure, but I love it. As the ancient Chinese curse says, quote, may you live in interesting times and not be able to affect the change, unquote. Well, we certainly live in interesting times. That much is absolutely true. Also, Mark from Prairie du Sac texting in saying, sadly, I think Sarah Godlewski would have done better than Mandela Barnes if the racism that Ron Johnson exploited in the 2022 election, or because of the racism. Thank you, Mark, for that text. I agree what Mark said right there, that given the fact that there is, again, without going into the weeds of that race, I think Mandela Barnes could have run a better campaign, or his people could have, but I also acknowledge and believe there is a lot of racist issues going on from the Johnson people to bring Mandela Barnes down. Not I think, I know. Sarah Godlewski may have been a better candidate, we'll never know. It's one of those things in politics. Also listening on or watching on YouTube, Tony says, I love it right now. By November, I may be less enthusiastic. Well, that's true, right? It may wane on people. Also listening or watching on YouTube, Andrew in Maine says, how can a state that does not split their electoral college votes be a quote-unquote swing state? Well, and he puts a wink after that. Nicely done, Andrew. He knows the answer, of course. Swing, quote-unquote swing in political terms is based on, does your county, your city, or your state always vote for or consistently vote for one party over the other? If the answer is yes, then you're not a swing state.
Andrew also says, I certainly don't envy the amount of traffic snarls due to candidate visits and ads in Wisconsin that you're going to experience over the next few months. The influx of dollars spent hopefully offsets some of the discomfort, at least for the seven or so people receiving the money.
Yes. That's true. If you've ever been near a candidate, you know, like a candidate, especially when it's elected, already a sitting president or a vice president, the amount of traffic that is kind of rerouted is crazy. I think I've talked about this before on this show, but back, remember, I left the Republican Party in 2011 over voting issues, the fact they were trying to suppress the vote. And of course, it continues today. So I left the Republican Party in 2011. But back in 2004, I was still very much involved. In fact, I was the chairman of the Richland County Republican Party and was in charge of the presidential visit by then George W. Bush to Richland County. And what was really cool about that, by the way, is there were a lot of Democrats at that event. And I think it was the first sitting president to ever visit the county. I believe Jack Kennedy campaigned there, but I don't believe it was when he was president. was when he was senator. But to have a sitting president come to a little town in southwest Wisconsin of 5,000 people, that was pretty cool. And as it turned out, it was not a partisan attack type of visit. Well, what the subject was basically what President Bush at the time, former President Bush, had done for infrastructure. And it had different people from the community that had benefited from their programs talking about that. It was not to come in and like bash the other side. And so you had a lot of Democrats at that rally, or at that event in the high school. It was packed. Just because at the time, even back in 2004, even though, you know, it certainly was divided, but it was still different. It was still the office of the president of the United States was coming to our town. And so there were a lot of people that showed up that didn't necessarily vote for him or agree with him, but simply wanted to say, you know what? I saw a president of the United States live in my hometown. But the point, I slept, and I'm not joking, over the course of 3 days prior, if I slept for 5 hours total, that was a lot. It's a big deal. You have to deal with the Secret Service. You have to deal with local police authorities. Roads get rerouted. They're up in the woods behind the high school with ATVs and snipers and all this stuff that you never really see that happens. So it's a big deal, whether it's Joe Biden or George W. Bush. It's a big deal when you move a president of the United States or even a vice president like Kamala Harris. And my hope would be that Republicans, if you have the opportunity to see Vice President Harris or President Biden when they visit Wisconsin, go. You don't necessarily have to clap if you don't want to. Just don't be a jerk and boo or do something stupid. But go and see Joe Biden. Take your kids. Because that's the cool part about living in a swing state, is getting the attention and finally being heard. And isn't that what we want? Being heard. Come on back. We'll talk more about it. Swing state, swing town. It's the Town Hall Ball Show on a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today for saving on streaming TV. Ever wonder if those streaming companies' whole business model is just luring us in with free trial subscriptions and then making it feel so hard to cancel? Well, spoiler alert, that is exactly what they do. The best way to keep your streaming costs in check is just using some old-fashioned financial elbow grease. Take 20 minutes and have a money meeting with yourself. Look at your bank statements, your credit card bills, make a list of every service you signed up for. And if you are anything like, well, everyone else, there's probably at least one thing you're not using. Cancel it. Anything you haven't watched in the last month, just cancel it. You can always sign back up again. They make that pretty easy. Between now and then, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday, April 26, 2024. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. We always appreciate his excellent work. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to talk with him and then talk with us. Mr. Zommers, what are your feelings? Are you nay or yay on living in a swing state?
I think it's.
well, don't be too enthusiastic about it.
I was just saying it's kind of, there's pros and cons, you know.
I like it.
It is interesting. I will give you that. And it's cool to say, like, I know when Obama was president, he came to Manitowoc when I was living there. And
oh, really?
While he did mispronounce Manitowoc, he said, fine people of Manitowoc.
Let's
which, you know.
Hey, you know what? Give them a break because not many people get Wisconsin native names right.
I wasn't like upset about it or something.
He
I
was just there. Like, he was there. Was he showed up.
Yeah, but he was there for a clean energy company that's based in Manitowoc. But, like, that was super cool. And if we didn't live in a swing state, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Never would have happened.
I wouldn't be working a block away from the Capitol Square and knowing that, like, you know, various national, international figures are right over there.
Right. Yeah. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What do you think about living in a swing state, a political swing state? As I said, for the things we've talked about, if you're there in the local area when a candidate visits, the traffic gets snarled for a few hours. And yes, I get it. All the negative ads get a bit overwhelming. But on the other hand, I'd much rather live here than like Nebraska. Well, for a lot of reasons, quite frankly. But not, I mean, nobody's going to Nebraska and campaigning, or at least very, very rarely. And they're just unheard. And it's a whole other kettle of fish. But I don't, you know, about the Electoral College, you know. But I'm glad we live in a swing state because they listen to us.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I know my vote matters.
Yeah, right.
And the ads are really annoying, but at the same time, I get to participate meaningfully in society.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Perry in Oconto. Perry, thank you so much for listening. What say you?
I say I love living in a swing state. It does feel like your vote matters. You get the people coming in and stuff like that. The only concern that I have is some of these candidates, I won't mention any names, number 45, but they kind of stiff the local authorities on providing police protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything we can do about that?
You know, again, this is way back in 04 when I did just one singular presidential visit, a person like Trigvi Olsen, who's actually run a presidential campaign, would be the person to really speak to that. But my sense when I did it in Richland County, helped coordinate at the local level, that it was pretty much run by the feds. I mean, we were dealing with the Secret Service and the White House advance team, and they pretty much ran the show. They coordinated with the local sheriffs and police office. But at the time, at least the only one I could speak to personally, that was completely run and dictated by the federal law enforcement, Secret Service and FBI and all those folks. So the locals pretty much were just like, whatever you need us to do.
My point, though, was who pays for that?
Oh, well, that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. So as far as the law enforcement protection, that sort of thing, I think that pretty much goes on the local governmental agencies. I know Richland County, it was basically all hands on deck. So the sheriff's deputies, you know, were kind of put on double, some may have been put on double shifts, that sort of thing, and police. But I think the local government was like, it's one day, and it's kind of the price you pay for the honor of having the office of the president visit your town for one day. But to your point, Perry, I think that, again, and this for people living in southeast Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular, I know my colleague Jay Matinair of Matinair on Air from 10 until noon has talked about this. If you are a business owner, And the RNC or the Trump people, or for that matter, anybody else, the Biden, if they come to you and say, hey, we want to buy a flag to put behind the president or the former president as, you know, or we want to buy food, get the credit card number before it happens. Because I'll tell you, in 04, when W visited Richland County, we bought like an $800 flag from a company in Reedsburg, and it took us like a year to finally get it paid for. So these campaigns, and the candidates don't know anything about it. I mean, it's all handled by middle people, right? And so the campaigns come in, and everybody thinks, oh, the president's coming or a candidate's coming, and this will be so cool. And so they give them whatever they want, but they don't get the payment. So that's a serious thing, Perry. I'm glad you brought it up. For people in Milwaukee, get paid or a legit credit card number before you give them the service.
But, all right. Yeah. Well, I hope give us an update on the water bottles, too, because I haven't heard. So.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Perry. That brings up, I appreciate that as well. So I talked about this on Monday, that I was going to try to, because I have right here my hot little hands, my reusable Wisconsin Badger coffee mug that I use every day, and my ceramic Milwaukee Brewers coffee mug, and my ceramic CBS News water mug. I said I needed a reusable water bottle, or I was going to buy one, but my colleague Jane Matt Nair heard this, and out of the goodness and kindness of the heart, because that's just the kind of person she is offered to buy me a Yeti water bottle. And so,
awesome.
I mean, your colleague offers you that, what am I going to say?
Those are solid.
Yeah. So Jane, God love her, has taken pity upon me and is going to help me out. So that's the update.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Hey, thank you, Perry. Really appreciate the call. Really appreciate you bringing up those important questions and topics. But no, he's right about, I mean, this is serious. I'm not joking around. I'm not being goofy. People in the Milwaukee area or anywhere in Wisconsin, and I would say this about the Democratic National Convention as I would about the Republican National Convention, if your business is being asked to provide anything, get the payment up front or get a good credit card number before you give them the service.
Absolutely. That is imperative, especially yes. Since we know how broke the RNC is.
Especially. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right, Mr. Zombers. It's more important for the RNC than the DNC. DNC is flush with money. We know that. The RNC, they're still trying to hawk Trump stakes to pay for things. I'm not making that up. Because they joined.
I wish you were.
I know. I wish I was too. Speaking of that, real and weird and wacky things that humans actually do, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World will be here at 1:30 in the next hour. And also taking showers. Are you for or against them? And also made up words from Gen Z. Going to be a fun second hour. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Dangerous weather whipping through the middle of the country. Dozens of tornadoes touched down in at least 3 states, Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. This man lives in Omaha.
We watched it touch down about 200 yards over there, and then we went to get shelter. We could hear it going through. When we came back up, our fence was gone. We looked over to the northwest, and the whole neighborhood's gone.
There are reports of some injuries, but no one was killed. Pro-Palestinian protests have escalated on the campuses of major universities across the country. Here's CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Here at Columbia University, where it all began, student protesters are saying, we're going to keep the tents up until the university meets our demands.
Columbia needs to divest from any corporation that is profiting off of genocide, apartheid, or displacement of Palestinians in Israel.
PhD student Ari Krischer says he hasn't felt safe since the night the tents took over the West Lawn.
I worry about what's going to happen on campus next year, 2 years from now. As a member of the Jewish people, I feel my people being attacked.
And Columbia Senate passed a resolution yesterday to investigate how the university's leadership is handling the protests. Meanwhile, CBS's Deborah Pata is in Jerusalem. She tells us the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is dire.
There is nowhere to go and there is nothing to go to. Parts of Gaza are unrecognizable. And into this mix is the fact that the World Food Program said this week that half of Gaza's population is starving. Not on the brink of starvation, they are starving.
Now to the criminal hush money trial of former President Trump. Ex-tabloid publisher David Pecker was on the stand again yesterday talking about the alleged deal he helped broker to keep some stories that could have hurt Trump's campaign out of the news. One of those stories involved former Playboy model Karen McDougal.
The defense argued that McDougal's $150,000 deal with AMI, which previously owned the National Enquirer, was legitimate. She was paid and featured broadly throughout the publications. But under questioning from prosecutors, Pecker said that was meant to disguise the actual purpose, which was to acquire her lifetime rights to her story so it's not published. Pecker also acknowledged hiring an election law attorney to review McDougal's contract.
That's CBS's Robert Costa, who also tells us after the trial wrapped up, the former president was asked if he was willing to debate President Biden before the election in November.
Trump responded quickly and said anytime, any place, maybe even at the White House.
In an interview with Howard Stern, President Biden said yesterday he would be more than happy to